We're doing all right, though. We're almost in December, and we haven't even been snowed on yet, hardly, as far as we had just a little. I know, right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I told myself, I'm ready for March now. I'm ready for spring. This is enough winter for me. I'm ready to spring right into spring. Amen. Of course, we have folks. This is a Thanksgiving weekend also. Dave and Shannon went out of town, and other folks are out of town. And they're down in Carrollton and things like that with their other families. It's a good, I was telling Mike and Katie, they were talking about their parents. And I'll say this to every one of you. When you get a chance to be with your parents, you be with them. Amen. Amen. I would love to, Mark asked me, he said, preacher, would you allow me to miss Wednesday? And I said, you be with your mom and dad. I wish I could be with my mom and dad. And you kids have still got your parents. Hold on to them and appreciate them. And it's different when you don't have them. But those that have lost them know what I'm talking about. We know, don't we, Brian? And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Praise God, we'll see him when we get to heaven. Amen? Amen. Just gone from me for a little while. Look at verse 23, and let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'll try to get myself collected here. Boy, I'm glad I got eternal life. I'm glad I got hope to be with my, and I hope I got a future. I'm glad, I know for a fact I have a future. Amen? Amen. Hey, there's Josh. Hi, Josh. I'm glad you got to be back. Glad you kids are back, man. Wish I could hold on to you and keep you here. I'm glad to see you when you can be here. Amen. All righty. I saw Brittany around here somewhere. I think she's in the back right now. This morning she was up near the front. Okay. All righty. Here's the title, John, Till He Come. Till He Come is the title. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. For I received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Are you there in the scripture with me? And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Why are we doing it? In remembrance. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The reason I'm emphasizing that, Brother Brian, there's some churches that teach when you drink that grape juice that you're drinking the blood of Jesus. They think when you're taking that bread, you think you're eating the body of Christ. Well, that's not true. There's no such thing as that, and there's no, and they think it's part of your salvation. There's no part of that. There's no salvation in that. Matter of fact, if you're not saved, you're not even supposed to take it. God only left two. He left the local church two ordinances: believers' baptism, which I believe should be done first, then the Lord's Supper, and he gave it to the local church. You get outside the local church, you're not in the, you're not even ordained by God to do it. Amen. And tonight we have the Lord's Supper. It's for Bethel. It's for this local church right here. Amen. Amen? Amen. So notice what it says. For as oft as you eat, look at verse 26. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. We're to keep doing it, Brother Brian, till Jesus comes. And it's showing forth his death, how he gave his life for us. We ought to remember what he did for us. We should never forget what he did for us. Amen. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we can meet tonight and do one of the ordinances of the church. And I pray, Father, in the Bible study we have before us, I can be a blessing in the short time before us. And then, Lord, I pray you'll bless tonight. May our hearts rejoice over what you have done for us. May we have a thankful heart and a heart of praise and worship. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Please bless each one. We ask these things. And Lord, be with all mine that are homesick tonight. Oh God, would you be with every one of our members that are homesick and even those that are not? And then I even think of Stevie's mom over there in Arizona. I think of Carol DeSalms. Oh, God, reach down and touch Carol. Strengthen her. Bring her back to good health, we pray. Bless all our people tonight, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We're told here in the scriptures, and we'll be coming back to this tonight, we're told to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him till he comes. So, Brother Bobby, until Jesus calls us out in the rapture, we're going to keep on taking this Lord's Supper. Amen? Now, we know that the scripture teaches us that no one knows the time of Christ's coming. I don't know the time. Either you and the guy on TV and the guy on the radio station that says for you to write and send him that money, he'll tell you what it is. He wrote a book, God gave me a vision. Well, I was up one night and he woke me up and I saw the angel of God. And he told me the exact date. Don't you believe him? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. I know you know the scripture. See, you know what's wrong with fundamentalism? Fundamentalism takes everything for granted. You preachers and you teachers, don't take things for granted. Just keep reteaching the stuff to your people. Amen. Keep strengthening your people in the faith. I know you know this scripture, but I want you to have it in your heart always. Look at Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, Brian, we're not too far from 2012. And they're already pumping. Boy, that's the Mayan calendar. And by the way, I don't care about the Mayan calendar. I don't care about any calendar other than what God gives me. Amen? And they're saying, boy, the Mayans said, everything's going to end then in 2012. And so I guarantee you, Brother Rod, you're going to get these wacko preachers, and they're going to be saying, and believe it or not, there'll even be some stupid Baptists. That's the sad part of it. Amen. They'll get caught up in it too. And they'll say, folks, I'm telling you, on December 12th, 2012, I'm telling you, the rapture's going to happen. Don't you believe it. By the way, it could happen tonight while I'm preaching. I don't know when it's going to happen. And by the way, only the Father knows. That's what the Bible, and I'm going to take what the Bible says. Amen? Amen? And matter of fact, if they say, hey, if they call Billy and say, Billy, they just saw Jesus over in the Middle East. Don't you believe it? No, ABC's got, they even took pictures of him. It is. He's got the shroud of everything. I mean, it's Christ. It's Christ. Don't you believe him, Philip. Because the next time we see Jesus, it's not going to be in the Middle East. We're going to see him in the clouds. I'm going to tell you right now, we are getting close to the coming of Christ. It could happen any time. And Brother Marty, we are going to have false teachers. And the power of the Satan, Brother Bud, is going to be powerful. And it's going to try to deceive even the people that know God. And you got to be careful to know your Bible. That's why I want you to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Amen? And know the Word. Know what you believe. It's important that you know what you believe. Amen? I know what I know. Amen? Well, I know that, number one, no one knows the day or the hour that Christ is coming back. But, I wrote that real big, but, we know for sure he is coming back. Amen. I don't know, Brother Freddie, I don't know when, what hour and what day, but I know he is coming back. Because he promised me that he's coming back. He promised you in his word he's coming back. Over and over and over, the promise of God. How do you know he's coming back? Because he said he was. Now, he gives me signs of his coming. When you read Matthew 24, Mark 13, chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. When you read all those signs. By the way, every time you read Matthew 24, all the signs. Mark 13, Luke 21. All those signs, when you read about those are all pertaining to the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he comes, the revelation means when he is revealed. When he literally comes down to earth. How many saw me wear this jacket? But we're not going to, we will be coming down with Christ in the revelation, Brother Mike, but the born-again Christian, we will be with Christ already 7 years in heaven before that revelation. We're going up in what they call the mystery. We call it the rapture. When God, Brother Rod, comes back and he calls out his church, his bride. Amen? How many are looking forward to that? I want you to look at some scripture with me. We believe in the coming. We believe it's in two phases. Two phases, two different places at two different times. Wow. Amen? See, but when the Bible talks about his revelation, it's talking about when he's coming down to earth. And the calling out of his bride is two different things. The mystery. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But this is what the Lord told me to preach, and I'm going to preach it. We're going to keep doing this Lord's Supper, Bobby, until this happens. Brian, we're going to keep doing the Lord's Supper until 1 Corinthians 15:51 happens. Then after that, we're not going to do it no more, Ruthie. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. I could quote it, but I want you to see it. Behold, I show you a mystery. It is a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all, talking about those that are saved, be changed. I was with Mrs. Cooper last night. She's 90 years old. She's near the end of her life. And I said, Mabel, she had me specifically come up there to talk about her funeral. She's not dead yet, but she's planning. She said, preacher, I want you to do my funeral. I want you to read one of the poems. I want you to do this. She's already got her funeral planned out. She's making sure that everything's done the way she wants it. She has 11 children and 100 grandkids. I think you ought to listen to her, amen? Amen. I say, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. I'll make sure I get that done right, you know? And she's the boss. And but I told her, I said, Mabel, I know that your body is weakened, but the Lord could come back before you even go home yet. Wouldn't that be exciting? One day soon, I don't know when, but I do know one thing. They're talking about building that third temple. Did you know that? Did you know they're talking about building the third temple? They really are. They really are. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Man, I told her, we're going to get brand new bodies. I said, Mabel, we're going to get brand new bodies. Her whole heart's given out. She's had major stroke. Her whole left side's paralyzed. And she could barely open her eyes to keep talking to me. I said, Mabel, it won't be long. He's going to give us brand new bodies. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. Amen? Amen. And then me and Eddie can play all the football we want in heaven then. Tell the knucklehead he can play all he wants then, Lizzie. Notice when it's going to happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty, blink your eyes. That's how fast it's going to happen. One day we're going to be in the next day. Boom, 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 we're gone. That's exciting. I mean, it's exciting. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but I got God's promise it's going to happen. That's only going to happen for those that are saved now. You got to be born again, washed in the blood. He's coming for his children. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All people are the creation, but you got to be a child. You got to be born again. We're told there in the scriptures that it's going to be in a moment of twinkling eye at the last trump, and the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Boy, hallelujah, Brian. No more blood pressure pills. No more diuretic pills. Amen. Diabetes, amen? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That means you're going to live forever. Yeah. Right now I'm in a mortal body and my body dies, but one day God's going to give me a body that's immortal, a body that never dies. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. And we that are saved, how many are saved tonight? You're going to live forever. Isn't that exciting? With brand new bodies, man. What would be the fun of living on eternity if you were old? And have Ben Gay every night. How many know about Ben Gay? And arthritis. Yeah. So, we're looking forward to that. Now, look at one more scripture with me. 1 Thessalonians, yeah. And David's going to be changed too. Our little Jew boy, he's going to be changed. Look at 1 Thessalonians. I'm trying to get this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I miss him though when he's not here, don't you? Can't stand him when he's here, but boy, I miss him when he's gone. Now, God knows I love him. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. You that are visiting with us, we have a man that's a full-blooded Jew here, that's born again, converted Jew. The seed of Abraham, we have a lot of fun with him, David Siegel, and we're very proud to have him part of our church. For this we say unto you, I'm in verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4, by the word of the Lord, and by the way, that's the way it should always be, by the word, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, watch what the Bible says, and remain shall be caught up together with them, where? Yep, in the clouds. This is a whole different thing from the revelation. That's why we know there's two different places, two different times. The mystery, what we call the rapture, the coin out of the church, that's in the clouds. 7 years before Christ comes back. Because when Christ comes, he's going to literally come and he's going to touch earth. He's going to come down and set up his kingdom. He's not setting his kingdom up there. There we're going up with him. Amen? So, and by the way, did you know something? I'm working on something here that I want you to understand. It's a mystery. The world won't see it. They won't understand it. See, when he comes back, they will see it. See, this rapture that we're talking about right now, it's a mystery. It's going to be secretive. If the only ones going up are born again, washed in the blood, saints of God. Isn't that exciting? And we're going in the clouds, up with Christ. Then he's going to take us back to heaven. We're going to get glorified bodies, be up there 7 years with him. Wow. We have the judgment seat of Christ for the Christians. Not to be saved, but because you are saved, for how your stewardship. And then right before we come back at the end of that 7 years, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Boy, that's going to be exciting, Revelation 19. And then we're going to literally come down with Jesus in his revelation. Wow, that's exciting. Amen? So I want you to notice something. So we go up in the mystery, but we come back with Jesus. I want you to see something. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Look at Revelation chapter 1. By the way, after the rapture, though, we won't do the Lord's Supper no more. We'll be with the Lord. He'll institute it. Amen? Revelation chapter 1. How many got verse 7? Look at verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every eye. We know this is not the rapture, Annie, because at the rapture, Brother Jordan, not only people who see him are those that are saved. It's a mystery. See, the Bible, the Revelations, the book of Revelation is chronologically written. What this is, he's just giving you an overview of what's going to happen in Revelation 19. How many are still with me yet? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall be well because of him. Wow. Look up here. When we come back with him, he's going to be riding a white horse. You ever notice how they're, boy, right now they're always saying, they keep watching for Planet X or one of those, something else to run into the planet. Boy, they're getting closer and closer. They're actually going to see Christ. He's going to be on a white, they're going to say, we spotted him on our radar, our satellites, our telescope. He's coming. He's 150 miles away, 150,000 miles away, but he's coming. Come here with me. And the whole, I can see him on satellite TV. They'll be showing Christ coming, coming, coming. The whole world knows when he's in the Revelation, the whole world's going to know that he's coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. And there's going to be armies riding behind him, and that's you and I. Bible says in Revelation 19, but I want you to see something too about Jesus. Stay in Revelation 1 because we're going to come right back to it. But I want to show you a contrast. I want you to go hold your hand in Revelation 1. Don't lose it because we're going to come back to it. I'm going to show you something in Revelation. But I want you to look at Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Like, you got Psalms, then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, then Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, then Song of Solomon. If you can find Psalms, you can find Song of Solomon. How many are still with preacher? Chapter 5. I want to show you something. Here's what Jesus looks like right now. Brother Dale, when he comes, Brother Dale, by the way, they just celebrated their anniversary last weekend. We're happy for them. When I believe Jesus looks like this description right now. But I'm going to show you a contrast, though. What's going to happen? Look at Nat, my granddaughter, about a few weeks ago, said, Grandpa, we were talking about how Jesus looks. And I said, yeah, I thought that's what he looked like. Look at how many got Songs of Solomon, chapter 5. Look at verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine. By the way, he's white. And he's kind of ruddy. Like he's got a reddish. Are you with me? How many are with the preacher yet? His head is as the most fine gold. In other words, he's beautiful. He's shaped. Are you with me? Perfect. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. How many see that verse 11? This is talking about Jesus. He's got black hair, black, bushy hair. Most Jews do. Amen. Now, David's old. He lost his black hair. Now he's silver like preacher. How many are with me yet? You all wonder, what's Jesus look like? He's giving you a picture of the Savior right now. He's got bushy black hair as a raven. Look at verse 12. His eyes are the eyes of doves. You got a little dove. David will relate to this. By the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. Think about how that looks. Think about those eyes. How many are with me? Are you thinking with the preacher? I'm going to tell you right now, this is what our Savior looked like when he walked on earth here. I believe he looks like that right now. I believe that with all my heart. I know he was God, but he was made in a Jewish body. How many are still with me? You don't see many Jewish, blonde-haired Jewish people. Hello? And they've got like an olive-type skin. How many are with me yet? How many are still with preacher? How many got that in Song of Solomon? Now go back to Revelation chapter 1. But Captain, when he comes back in the Revelation, things are going to change. Mike, I believe in my heart when we see Jesus in the rapture, he's going to have black and curly hair and those eyes like those doves. I believe that. But watch when he comes back in judgment. Because when he comes back in judgment, he's going to have a different look. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. How many of you got Revelation 1:14? His eyes were a flame of fire. Forget those dove eyes that are so kind and loving and tender. You look into a dove's eye, they're precious. Amen. You have a, what's your little dove's name?
Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy. He has a little, he brought the little Daisy here. I mean, you look into a dove's, they're just a beautiful little bird. You don't see any. The dove is one of the most harmless birds in the world. The dove. See, he had a harmless look to him when he came the first time. But he's coming back in vengeance and judgment the second time. How many are still with preacher? Look at that. Look at verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet like the undefined brass. And brass represents judgment. And as if they burned in a furnace, his voice is a sound of many waters. Wow. Thundering like Niagara Falls. Look real quickly. I know time's going by. Look at Revelation chapter 19, because this is his revelation. What a contrast, Bobby, when we see him and when he comes back. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 11. What you read in chapter 1 is what he foretell what was happening in Revelation 19. I saw heaven. You got verse 11 in Revelation 19? I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. You ever see on those movies, they see, you always see that big white horse with the big wings on it? You know, on your theater. How many have ever seen? Where do you think they got that stuff from? They get it from the Bible. Is that what they call it? Pegasus, yeah, you're right. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. Watch, his eyes were just like they said in Revelation 1:14 and 15. His eyes were what? As a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he that had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus. And the armies, that's you and I, which were in heaven. See, remember, we went up 7 years before. Now we're coming back down. The door opens in Revelation 4:1. That's a rapture. And now it's back open again in Revelation 19:11. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword with it, and he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture, on the side of his name, a written name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Who can say amen? Amen. And so we see that when Jesus comes back, it's actually a two-part. When the Bible refers, most of the time the Bible is referring to the revelation. The mystery is 7 years before we go up. We're going to keep doing this Lord's Supper until that, the mystery, the rapture. Amen? Are you still with me? Am I boring you? Now watch. I don't know exactly, Bobby, when he's coming back, but I know that he is coming back, and I do have signs. And I know how he's coming back. He's going to come down and call us up in the clouds. Amen? But what about his revelation? Where is he coming back? In the revelation. You are right. He is coming back in the Mount of Olives. Look at Acts. Look at Acts chapter 1. We're almost done here. Look at Acts chapter 1. Good little Bible study, wasn't it? You've heard it all. It's good to hear it again. Tell me the old story. Never gets old. Never gets old to me. Acts chapter 1, look at verse 4. And being assembled together, do you have Acts 1:4? Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. And for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They were at Pentecost. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Nope. He's going to restore it when he comes back in his revelation. The millennium, we call it, the 1,000 years. That's the kingdom age. When he comes back in his revelation, I just read to you in Revelation 19. How many are still with preacher? That's when it's going to be. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times. You ought to tell that to all these radio people and TV people. Say, send me $50 and I'll give you the book that tells you when he's going to be here. And I'll give you a prayer cloth and I'll pray over it. Man, I can spit on anybody's cloth. My spit's just as holy as anybody else's. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father had put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Boy, that's what we're supposed to be doing right now. Amen. Unto me both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. Missions. Not just where we live, but all around the world. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him up out of their sight. Wow. And while they looked steadfast, there's always clouds. You ever notice that? Always clouds, Annie. Think about that. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. You say, how did he go up? Just by the power of God. That's how we're going to go up. Not by our own power. I loved how the week ago Pastor Dave did a phenomenal Sunday school lesson here. We were talking about how we pray and we don't really believe it. And then all of a sudden the rapture is going to go, it's actually happening. The rapture really took, I can't believe this. Wish I could do it like he did that day. It was phenomenal. You that were here know what I'm talking about. You that were here missed it. Which also, you men of Galilee, why you stand up gazing into heaven, verse 11, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, what shall he do? Shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called what? Yeah. Look up here. One more verse and we're done. When Jesus left, he was in the Mount of Olives. And they said, this same Jesus that you see go up, he's going to come back in the same manner. Lizzie, I don't know the exact spot where his foot left, but I guarantee you, I believe with all my heart, Brother Bud, the very spot that his foot left, I believe in his revelation, that very spot is where his foot's going to touch back down. I believe that with all my heart. He's going to come back to the same spot, the same place. How many are still with me? You think about the Mount of Olives. I'm almost done. Think about the Mount of Olives. You study about the Mount of Olives. It's on the east of Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives forms the highest level of the range of hills east. It's the highest part on the east of Jerusalem. Matter of fact, it rises 250 feet higher than the Temple Mount. And the Mount of Olives is 2,600 feet above sea level. For an army, you men that are in the you soldiers here and you that are in the armed services, for an army, the Mount of Olives is the most supreme tactical position to be to defend because it's the highest point. How many are still with me? Matter of fact, I studied about the history. They said, Rod, that when Titus came in 70 AD, the Roman soldiers took that spot and they called it, Mark, they called the Mount of Olives because they used it with the place of the lookout. Because you can look out. Pastor Dave and I were talking about going to the Holy Land, and stand on the mall and looking out, because when you're on the mall, you can look out and see things from way off.
Amen.
How many are still with me? I know Ruthie's been to Israel, and you've probably been to the Mount of Olives, haven't you, Ruth? And but I want you to see one last thing. Oh, it's so exciting. We gotta get us a trip to Holy Land before. I'd love to go to the Holy Land, wouldn't you? Look what's going to happen at this Mount of Olives, and I'll close. Look at one last scripture. This is where he's coming back. He's coming back in his revelation in the Mount of Olives. Look at Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. Look what's going to happen when his foot touches. Oh boy. It's going to touch down right at that very spot that he left. And Zechariah, 500 years before Christ was ever born, Brian, prophesies this very thing is going to happen. He saw into the future. Isn't that amazing? That'll blow your mind. He was 2,500 years ahead of time. Zechariah was 25. It's been almost 2,500 years now since he wrote this, Mike. It's about ready to happen. Look at Zechariah 14:4. Zechariah, near the back of your Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. It says, and his feet. Uh-oh, Brian. His feet. Remember we're talking about his feet? How he left? We're talking about his revelation is coming. This same Jesus that went up before you, he's going to come back? Here it is. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of what? Yes. I'm in Zechariah 14:4. How many have got it? Which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives. By the way, it keeps telling you where it's at, so you can't. I wonder where it's at. You don't have to think. He's telling you over here. Duh. Hello? It's the Mount of Olives. How many understand where he's at? They did that for teenagers so they could get it. The Mount of Olives shall cleave. What happens when his foot comes? Wow. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave when Jesus comes back and his foot touches down in the revelation. And it's going to, Brother Brian. By the way, we're going to be with him. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half the mountain toward the south. Wow! Man! That's going to be unbelievable, preacher. Yes. Because we've got a wonderful, unbelievable God.
Amen.
And all those armies that are against them, they're going to get swallowed up, and the rest of them are going to get smited down. How many have ever heard of Armageddon? And the Megiddo? Well, that's where it's all going to take place. How many are with me yet? And Jesus is going to conquer. He came in riding years ago, Mike. Our Savior 2,000 years ago came right into Jerusalem on a little donkey. Humble, obedient, servant to be our sacrifice. When he comes back next time, Billy, our Savior's, he's coming back not as a servant. He's not going to be riding a little donkey. He's coming back as a conquering king. The king's coming. The king is coming. There's a song that they sing. The king's coming. The king is coming. You got me off. I can't do it now. But anyways, you got it, David. You got the song. Anyways, he is coming. How's it going, Mark? It's coming. The King is coming. I can. Yes. Yes. He's coming. By the way, when he comes in, we'll already have brand new glorified bodies. We'd already been with him for 7 years. We've already been at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We just had a big Baptist fellowship up there in heaven. Jesus knows Baptists like to eat. We had the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. He says, okay, now let's go down to earth. You guys have all filled your bellies. Come on, you fundamentalists. Let's go down and show them that I really am King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The scripture says, I didn't have this plan, I'm all done, that every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord. I'm glad he's my Lord. Amen. Are you glad he's your Lord?
Amen.
Tonight, Betty, as God's church here, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And we're going to do it in remembrance, Brother Bud, of our Lord. He's a great Lord, isn't he?
Amen.
He died for us. He suffered. He buried him in 3 days, Tommy. He came out of that grave. The grave couldn't hold him. No man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to raise it again. Man, Lizzie, what a great God. I can't believe he loves us, but he does. And he's coming. We're going up in the rapture, which is called the mystery. And then we're going to come back with him 7 years later in what the world knows of the revelation. And the world's not going to end then. Matter of fact, it's going to go for another 1,000 years. And then after that, he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And then we're going to step out of this and go out into eternity forever. It's unreal. I can't grab hold of eternity, can you? It's sure going to be fun though, isn't it? Man, I'm excited about it. So till tonight, Bethel Baptist Church, we're going to remember our Savior. We're going to remember what he's done in the Lord's Supper until he comes back. He is coming back. Sarge, I don't know when he's coming back, but he's coming back. We just to keep watching for him, keep looking for him. And we're to occupy until he does. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had. And Lord, I just thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for giving us a Bible that we can trust, that we can believe, that we can know for sure it's real, that we can believe every word that you say to us is true. I thank you, Father, that you came down out of the splendor and glory of heaven. You literally left paradise. You left the splendor of heaven to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger with no audience, with no applaud, adoration and glory of heaven to come down to a cursed world and to die for us. Father, thank you. That's love beyond any man can comprehend. I pray that as we gather around the Lord's Supper tonight, we can think about this wonderful Savior that not only came and died and suffered and arose that third day, but he's going to come again. And this time he's coming back as a conquering king, Lord of lords, King of kings, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Star of David. Lord, we're so glad. The bright morning star. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Father, bless us tonight. Thank you for letting us come together and worship and love you, Father. I wonder, before we have the Lord's Supper tonight, how many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And if I died, I know for sure I'd go to heaven." Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there any tonight that would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Pray for me. Father, thank you for your word. Bless us now as we enter into the Lord's Supper. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.